Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In Ukraine, it's 3:22 in the afternoon. Let's go to Lviv and Joseph Lindsley. And Joe, what's the power situation today?
You know, today, Bob, good afternoon, good morning. Today, everything seems to be okay. We have internet access. Last night, it was still spotty to communicate with people. But the power, it seems to be, have been restored throughout Ukraine. We are still feeling sort of, such a blow on Monday, and in some ways a wake-up call to be for everyone to be more prepared with very basic things like keep your power banks charged, have alternative ways to communicate. And so you see people adapting. But for example, when I went to a coffee shop earlier today, I said to my friend working there, how are you? And he says, Pohano, which means bad. Ukrainians are very honest. I said, well, why bad? And he said, Ponedeli, Monday. Just one word. That was enough. You know, and that's so everyone's kind of we're going through that together here right now. But still, you know, keeping going. And we had through the night, Russians shelled the city of Nikopol all night long. I saw some video of it. Really terrifying. I was just speaking with a friend from that city who was here in Lviv. And, you know, just talking about the constant terror everyone in that city has to go through right across from the largest nuclear plant in Europe. I actually gave my friend some iodine pills for him to take back to Nikopol with him, and we're describing, you know, he was like, so when do you take the, you know, when do you take this tablet, you know? And I never thought I'd be sitting, you know, in a cafe on a sunny day describing, you know, okay, when you see the nuclear flash, you got to take the tablet as soon as you can and cover your face, you know. So that's sort of, these are the conversations we're having right now. Also, there was a strange incident in the city of Belgorod. It's a Russian city close to Kharkiv, near the border, and a missile hit a residential building. It seems like these were missiles on the way to Ukraine, and it failed to cross the border. As one journalist in Kyiv tweeted, Russian missile starts liberating even before it leaves Russia. Some sense of humor about it. But Russians are trying to say that this was they're trying to say Ukraine is actually attacking Russian soil, but it probably seems like it was a faulty Russian missile. So we do see that, you know, in keeping with the Russian justification for their attack on Monday, they continue to try to make the case that Ukraine is the aggressor, you know, and now we have, a few other things happened. We had Iranian drones continue to do these kamikaze attacks, but Israel has now said they're going to provide Ukraine with tools and intelligence on how to fight these drones. So that's good news. And then meanwhile, President Macron in France says that if Putin uses any type of nuclear weapon, even a tactical weapon on Ukraine, France will not respond. And that's concerning to people.
Yes, and it's very interesting to hear you talk about still feeling the effects of Monday. Of course, you don't shake off something like that. It's easy for us to think, well, it's Thursday now, but when you're there, I can imagine, you know, you're shaken by that for quite some time, aren't you?
Yeah, it's but you use these moments to figure out how to be smarter, how to be more prepared, and they ultimately will make us everyone here stronger. But yeah, it's a heavy feeling, and you see that was part of the goal of that was to weaken people. Yesterday, last night I was meeting with Ukrainians and some visiting Spanish officials and Americans, and it was a quiet, peaceful day here in Lviv yesterday. And we had to talk about democracy and liberty. You know, what are these things? You know, why is it so important to fight, to stand for these ideas and for people to be free? And I'm sure people have seen the recent comments from Elon Musk. He said last week, I think he said that, you know, Ukraine needs to, because of the nuclear fears, and this shows you that Putin's nuclear scare tactics are working for a lot of people. Elon Musk says, you know, we must find peace. Ukraine needs to agree to give up territory. And then just a few days ago, and this is very strange, he also said Taiwan, which China wants, you know, Taiwan's a free country, a thriving democracy. Taiwan needs to agree to become a special administrative zone of Beijing. And don't worry, Beijing will let you have freedom, which obviously they don't. We can see what happened in Hong Kong. And so very strange that, you know, because of these nuclear fears, people from Elon Musk, even Representative sorry, I don't want to mispronounce her name. We always call her AOC in New York. She supported Ukraine. And yesterday in New York, someone was screaming at her saying, you know, you're driving us to nuclear war. And this is exactly what Putin wants. It's everyone from, you know, a constituent in New York to Elon Musk to be so afraid of nuclear war that we decide to totally give up on the idea of freedom and just get in line and listen. And so that's kind of where we are now. And we had this conversation last night about, you know, how do we define democracy? And we realized that we all need to do a better job of figuring out what we mean by being free and democratic in all of our countries. And I think this is the moment where the world needs to decide, you know, how do we want to live our lives? How do we want to build our societies? We're forced to answer this question very urgently now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. And when you talk about Elon Musk, of course, you have to be thankful for his Starlink communication system to enable people like you to talk from Ukraine. And that's come in handy, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant technology. And ours were the one I used was provided by donors in Poland. So they paid for it. So I'm grateful for that. But Elon Musk is saying that Ukraine cannot use Starlink in Crimea because he's afraid that would help. They always use the word escalate the situation. And also the women, as I keep mentioning, because I think these stories are all connected, the women in Iran, they need Starlink. They haven't had internet in 3 weeks. And, you know, you can feel that, like, on Monday here. Just imagine, you know, something bad's about to happen or something bad's happening and you can't reach anyone. You know, you have to walk to someone's house to find them. And that's what's happening in Iran now. Because the regime is trying to prevent a revolution from happening there. And that's the situation we're in here. But yeah, even, I mean, you know, when Elon wants to turn off the switch, he can do it. And, you know, to have all that power in one person. So we're grateful. But, you know, we want people to understand, and we want Elon to understand, you know, Mr. Musk, with all respect, like, you know, what does it mean to be free? And you know, is this something worth fighting for? That's the question. And I even when I was talking with some of these Spanish officials, we had Americans that were visiting too, including the leader of the president of the American Teachers Federation, Randy Weingarten, very famous American. She very courageously came here last Monday, even after the attack started. I mean, these stories really inspired me, people who are not afraid to come here. But I was explaining to her, Ukrainians are so wildly free and independent. And this is a tough thing to mention, but, you know, most of them are not vaccinated for the coronavirus. And when you mention that, people don't want to talk about it. But I say, whatever you think about that, it shows you how fiercely independent they are of governments. They're very dependent on themselves and their neighbors and their family and their church, but they're very fiercely independent. And that's why we have this, because Russia is the complete opposite of that. You know, Russia is extremely dependent society. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're seeing this clash right here.
Always a history lesson and a great depiction of life at the moment in Ukraine from Joe Lindsley. Let me leave you with a positive note, a text that you'll like, Joe. 800 backpacks filled with essentials for children in Ukraine orphanages arrived this week here at the Girl Scouts of Greater Chicago, Northwest Indiana, shipping them out right now.
Oh, man, I mean, you can just imagine, you know, the smiles in those kids' faces, not only to get these practical things, especially, you know, for the upcoming winter, but I think, you know, to know that someone cares about them far away. And I've seen that impact here. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that news, too.
Thank you, Joseph. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.